Dean followed Danny as the young man moved out of the shelter of the building beside their target and slipped across the gap of the alleyway until they were at the back of the building that housed the old tech. Looking up, Dean could see that the old two-story industrial block had only one apparent rear exit, a door on the upper story that could be accessed by an old metal fire escape. All the windows had been covered with sheets of corrugated iron or metal salvaged from other parts of the industrial area, and these had been welded into place. On closer inspection, Dean saw that even the door at the top of the fire escape had been covered and welded. On the lower story, the windows had been filled in with brick and concrete block from rubble, and the huge double doors, that in the days before Skydark would have been where Wags picked up whatever the building produced, were now welded shut, with large metal girders across the join between the doors. At the rear of the building, Dean and Danny listened for any sign of the Sec Guard approaching, and Dean couldn't for the life of him work out how Danny could get into the building. Sensing Dean's doubts, Danny grinned mischievously.
Trust me on this, dude.
He went down on his knees where the building's rear wall disappeared into the earth.
Should still be here.
He burrowed in the dust.
Got it!
Danny pulled a concealed ring from beneath the topsoil.
Gotta do this carefully, in case we leave too little on top when we go in.
What the hell is it?
The young Carter helped his partner to carefully lift what appeared to be a narrow trap door.
Access shaft. This gets us down into the basement of the building, where the generators are. I think it must have been for maintenance at one point, but it was mostly forgotten. See, my dad was thorough and made a good wreck of the whole place when Baronel put him in charge. But I don't think he ever reported everything he found. This was always kept covered, and it looks like it hasn't been disturbed since.
Be triple hard to cover when we go down, though. The ring's gonna stick out when the Sec comes back.
Danny slipped into the narrow causeway.
Have to trust that. There isn't any other way to get in. With a bit of luck, they won't notice it. Hell, they don't know it's there. It's a ground level, and they have no idea what it's for. We just try and keep as much soil on top as possible.
The young hellbender started to slide between the partially open trapdoor and the ground, trying to keep the trapdoor as level as possible, and so keep the covering layer of soil intact. Dean watched him disappear into the hole, shrugged, and followed him. The shaft was dark and airless, the atmosphere incredibly hot, and it stank of decay. It was obvious that it was rarely used. Dean figured it probably hadn't been in use since Danny had left the Ville. There was a metal rung ladder that was bolted to the concrete side of the shaft, and Dean felt his way down it gingerly, hearing Danny's boots on the metal a few feet beneath him. Then he heard his companion's feet touch dull-sounding concrete or brick, and he knew that they had almost reached the bottom.
Duck when you get to the bottom. The shaft's only about 4 feet.
I hope you know the way from here. I don't want to end up heading back out into the center of the Ville.
There's only one way we can go. Damn, you worry too much.
Yeah, I got reason to.
It was pitch black at the bottom of the shaft, and the heat subsided into the coolness of a subterranean tunnel, the stifling confinement of the entry shaft now passed. Dean bent forward and followed Danny's footsteps, unable to see him, as his eyes still hadn't adjusted to the darkness. The boy had been right about there only being one direction they could head. At the bottom of the shaft, there was a tunnel in one direction and a wall in the other, although Dean could feel, as he lightly ran his hands along the sides of the tunnel to try and detect its width, that there were pipes and cables running along it that ran straight into the wall by the shaft.
What the fuck was this for?
Dunno for sure. I figured that it must have been to do with the power supplies for the building before Skydark, and maybe the generator Baronel got going when he moved in later. I do know that this runs under some of the other buildings, too. We need to take the first shaft up, which should be about here. Ha! Found it!
Where?
Just in front of you, about 5 yards. You need to pull yourself up.
All right, be right there.
Following the sound of Danny's voice, Dean reached up into empty space and groped for the bottom rung of the metal ladder that was bolted to the side of the shaft. Pulling himself up, he winced as strong light penetrated the shaft, then flooded it, as Danny opened the trap door at the top.
Damn, this is it?
He followed Danny up into a bare side room that was only 10 feet by 10.
That's the joy of it. The shaft's put out of the way of general use so it can't be a hazard, which means it gets hidden away from the prying eyes of any Sec, especially those who can't be bothered to check too well.
Dean replaced the trap door in the floor carefully and looked around the empty room. Dust motes were visible in the air, and like the entire building, it was lit by ceiling panels, a few of which were either dead or blinking erratically. In one wall, there was a simple metal door.
This should bring us out into the ground floor corridor. Most of the tech and all the paperwork's on the upper level.
Denny opened the door slowly and scanned the empty hallway. Both he and Dean listened intently, but could detect no signs of activity. Denny indicated that they should move and readied his Uzi in case he needed it. Dean had his Browning high power, checked and reloaded. Given Denny's inability with a blaster, it was a precaution Dean felt to be more than necessary. The building seemed deserted. There was no sign of any activity, and the only sounds were the low hum of a generator and distant electrical activity, none of which indicated a need to be on triple red. Nonetheless, both boys remained cautious. The building's lower story was little more than an open factory floor, with scattered benches and debris giving no clue as to what had been manufactured there in the days before the new cost. Dean felt uneasy with the floor being so open. It would be all too easy for any sec to enter and see them immediately. The sooner they were through here, the better. Denny led them to a staircase that spiraled up the far wall, leading to a door set in the wall. Dean followed him, eyes scanning the walls and the door set into the front of the building for any signs of activity.
Come on, Danny, let's move it.
We're there.
Danny opened the door. Dean swung through after him, taking one last breath before closing the door gently. They were on a mezzanine, with a washroom and more stairs leading to the upper level. The hum of the generator and equipment was louder now, but there was still no sign of any life, for which Dean was grateful.
How the hell does Baron Al get the fuel to run the generator all the time?
I don't really know. The weird thing is that fuel's the one thing Charity's never been short of for trade. I think he has some good trading allies for that, because he cultivated them. But that's why he's in the shit over the lack of food. He's been too busy chasing this dream to look out for the people he rules over, which is kind of dumb in the long run, because there's more of them than there are of him and his sec.
Yeah, sure.
They took the last few steps from the mezzanine to the upper story, and Danny opened the wooden door at the top, pausing only to check the room before turning to Dean, with a huge grin on his face.
Welcome to Wonderland.
Hot pipe.
The room ran the length of the building. Rich velvet drapes and hangings ran around the walls, blocking the windows and giving the room an altogether richer, warmer feel. The floor space was occupied by vast banks of comps, vids, and other electronic pieces, the use of which was a mystery to Dean. In front of the drapes in one corner stood a row of battered old metal filing cabinets, with an ornate wooden writing desk to one side of them.
All this is the hardware, but those filing cabinets is where the real treasure lies, I'd say. I didn't pay much attention back in the day because I was young, but now that's a different matter. I'd say that those drawers probably contain all the secrets to make this stuff viable again. And that, my friend, is where we should be looking.
Danny strode across the room, pointedly ignoring the winking lights, the gentle hum of the comp consoles, and the flickering images that played on vid and terminal screens. Dean followed him, although he couldn't help but be distracted by the old tech equipment, the likes of which had always fascinated him. Some of it he recognized from redoubts or the Brody School, where there had been a certain amount of old tech that some of the teachers had tried to teach to the students, most of whom had more pressing concerns. But like his father, Dean had always had an interest. Ryan had always been fascinated by the snippets of pre-dark culture that he could find, almost as though he could somehow unravel the secrets of the past and use them to make the present better for himself. Without anything ever said between them, Dean had always shared this interest, with a more practical bent toward the old tech.
God, I wish Mildred was here.
Dean, come and take a look at this.
What is it?
Dean stopped poring over the console of a terminal and hurried over to the writing desk, where Danny had a pile of books and papers that he had taken from the filing cabinets, and which may or may not relate to the electronics in the room. Dean looked over Danny's shoulder at the myriad of paper, covered with figures, sentences that looked almost incomprehensible in their complexity, and colorful drawings of the comps, along with diagrams of their schematics.
Ah, oh, it's all here.
Yeah.
Yeah, but how do we work out which bit belongs to what? I don't know any of the theory, but it strikes me now that although the boxes and circuits are working, it's the stuff that makes it all work. Software, wasn't it? That's the problem. Sometimes you can't immediately tell what each comp has running it, and how to connect them to each other.
Yeah, I know what you mean. The problem is that not all the software recognizes each other, so you have to find ways of doing it. I was taught something about that. Networking, Mr. Brody called it. He had a few old comp books.
And did it work?
In the face of this new treasure, Danny had forgotten all about the world of Charity and the Deathlands outside the room. Forgotten about their companions in the wreck party. Forgotten about any dangers that may be facing them. All that mattered to him now was that he may be close to cracking the secrets of the comps and making them slaves rather than adversaries.
Yeah, not that we had much in the way of equipment. Hey, listen. If we can find a couple of cables, I could show you quickly, and we could maybe find out a little more about what Baron Al's got here.
Okay. What sort of cables do we need?
Dean was already rooting around the hardware, emerging with a couple of connecting cables.
These. We'll take those two comps there. You connect that one.
Sure. How do you actually connect these things?
You look for the right socket on the back. You put the male lead into the female port.
The what?
You never heard of that? The triple stoops who invented these things had male and female ends to them. The male is the one with prongs, and the female...
is the one with the hull. Shit. With jokes like that, no wonder they tried to blow up the fucking world.
With the two comps connected, the young men hunched over them, each keeping an eye on his terminal, while Dean tapped in commands to try to identify the software on each and get them to communicate.
This may not work, Danny. We really need more time for this. We should wait until we get back to the redoubt.
Best to find out as much as possible now and take as much of the paperwork.
Why?
Because...
Danny looked at Dean as though he were assessing how much he could tell him.
Because I don't trust Papa Joe, that's why. See, he spent so long with nothing to do except dwell on revenge that I figure he'll go over the top when he gets his hands on Baron Al. If it don't chill him or everyone else in the attempt, then he'll torch the Ville and all this will be lost. And this is the future. But he spent so long brooding over revenge that I reckon he may just be a little loco by now.
I figure most of us feel the same. Trouble is, we've got to go through with it because he outnumbers us. If you're with us on this,